Hey there and welcome to Soul Church.
Our prayer is that this message encourages you wherever you may be in life.
You know, we've been hearing so many stories about what God is doing in people's lives, and we'd love to hear yours. So take a second and send your story to stories@soulchurch.com.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope that you enjoy the message. God bless.
Praise God. So glad that you've joined us tonight, and we're in for a really special night. And thank you for being, hey, we're looking at some of the messages coming through here. I think we're on Facebook Live right now. People say I'm expecting God to do some great things. Hello, Linda. Linda Minot. Hello, Diane Houghton. Hello, Barbie. Hello, Rhea. Hey, keep your comments coming. It's great to see all your comments scrolling through. And, you know, we wish, you know, I was looking out my window in my office tonight, and normally on a Heart and Soul night, we'd have somewhere between up to 500 people would sometimes be here on a Heart and Soul night. And I kind of like a little bit, oh, where's all the people? But you know what? They're here. It just feels a little bit different tonight. And so we're going to have a great time. And I really want to encourage you. I know there's a lot of distractions watching church at home, but just lean in just for this hour or so, and we're going to have a great night. And so good to see you. Thanks for being in the house. Thanks for tuning in. Why don't you say hi to someone in your living room, in your kitchen? Maybe it's the cat. Okay, give the dog a stroke. Just have some kind of interaction with something, even if it, and then you can grab your seats. We just need to pray the Canaries win tonight. Foregone conclusion, they're going to score in the 98th minute tonight. Mario free kick. There we go. So we'll be able to watch that when we get home. All right, hey, we're in a fasting season, okay? This is day two of our seven-day fast. I want to say a huge well done to everyone who's joined us on this journey. I'm feeling so much better already, okay? And it is not too late to fast, okay? It is not too late. Whether you fast, do a Daniel fast, just do a, take a meal out of your day. But I want to encourage you, it's not too late to jump in on this. And, you know, I found this is fasting is a secret source of power in your life. It's like something extra kicks in when you deny yourself some of those things. So I want to encourage you to keep fasting. Keep trusting God. Your spirit comes alive when you deny your flesh. And so please, please keep going. And also want to encourage you to pray bold prayers in this season. Chantal and I, I've been praying some pretty bold prayers over the last 48 hours. And so what bold prayers you know, I think it's great to pray little prayers like, God, help me today. But what about, God, I want you to do something you've never done before today in my life. I want to see supernatural favor in my finances. I'm believing for a miracle to arrive in the post today. Why don't you claim some supernatural miracles? I've kind of tagged this week Miracle Week. Miracle Week. Come on, what miracles are you expecting this week? This is miracle week for the church. The Bible says we have not because we ask not. And so we're going to ask God. Come on, Father, right now, we're claiming this is miracle week. And I know in this room, online, there are many, many people who need a miracle. And I pray this week for intervention. I pray for supernatural strength. I pray as we fast and we lean into you, Father, we will tap into a new power, Lord, and we will see a breakout of unusual miracles in our church. We claim it right now. Go on, claim your miracle. Come on, claim it right now. Claim it right now. Claim. What do you want? What do you want to see this week? In Jesus' name. Amen. Well, tonight really is a time where we kind of do some updates to the church, where we're at, give you some of the exciting things where we've started or we're a part of. But before we do that, I think for Chantal and I, we were talking this week as we're preparing it. This has probably been the most challenging yet fruitful time of our lives, 2020. We called 2020 build, and it was. I feel like I've missed God on this one. But I feel like also I feel God is building his church in a whole lot of ways that we probably had never expected him to. And I think the first message we want to get across to the church is this: thank you. Thank you for sticking by. Chantal and I, thank you for your messages, your emails, your encouraging words. If you ever think this, should I send John and Chantal a message? Yes, as long as it's a nice one. even though I won't read it. But honestly, the messages come at the right time, and you wouldn't believe the times. And I know for you as well, this has been a really tough season. And here's the good news, we're coming out of it. When I say we're coming out of it, I'm speaking in faith. I've got to speak things as if they were, rather than as they are right now. And so thank you for the way you continue to give and sacrifice. You know, I said this when we met outside at the Heartseats in August, but this year, financially as a church, we've moved forward. I don't know about you, but that is a miracle. As a church, we are completely debt-free in this church. We do not owe a penny on anything. We don't rent anything. We don't hire anything. This everything is bought and paid for. I don't know about you, but that is an absolute miracle, the position we're at as a church. And I've always believed in leading with honesty, transparency, and so I'm not going to change tonight. We're really going to share from our hearts. And first thing I want you to know is this. Chantal and I, we will not always get it right. Sometimes we do and sometimes we don't. And, you know, even in this current crisis, we might see things different. We might lead different than what you want, but I think for Chantal and I, the cross is going to remain our primary focus, not COVID. Okay, so everything we're doing, we've got to keep pointing people to Jesus, keep pointing people to Jesus, who is the hope of the world. And naturally, I am a fixer, okay? I like to fix things, I like to make things better quickly. But if anything, this season is teaching you and I that things are not going at our pace, they're going at God's pace. Okay, and so if you're a natural, want to get going quickly kind of person, here's what God's doing. He's wanting to slow you down a little. He's wanting you to shift your focus and perspective on different things in your life. So don't push past the process of what God is doing. And you know, there are so many opinions and voices and stats and metrics and quotes. And you know, it's difficult to know exactly the way forward, but we want you to know we're doing our best. And hopefully some of that heart will come out tonight. And I asked God a few months ago what the guide for this season should be. And I went to James chapter 1, verse 5, and I just want to share with you kind of a little bit about my heart in this season and how we're leading to help you understand some of the decisions that we're making. James chapter 1 says this: do any of you need wisdom? Hello? Hello in the chat. Does any of you need wisdom? Any mums and dads out there, you're saying, do I need some wisdom? And then he says this: ask God for it. He is generous and enjoys giving to everyone. So he will give you wisdom. But here's the second part. But when you ask God, you must believe. Don't doubt him. There's two things that jump out in this portion of scripture. Is this: wisdom and faith. These are the two words which Chantal and I felt was to lead the church through this crisis, through to the other side. If all we lead with is wisdom, we're going to become overly cautious, we're not going to attempt anything, and we're going to stay still. If all we lead with is faith, name it and claim it, blab it and grab it, here's what's going to happen. It's going to be reckless. So how do we lead in this season? James gave it to us. He says, number one, you lead with wisdom. And number two, you lead with faith. I think that's a great way to live your own life. Not just lead just all wisdom, because if it's all wisdom, the wise thing to do is just stay still, wait for the season to pass. Or if it's all faith, you're going to get yourself in a muddle. But I believe the safe place to be with God is to lead with wisdom. So we're trying to balance wisdom and faith. You know, from the outside looking in, it wasn't wise for Jesus to get too close to lepers. But you know what he was? He was full of faith. There's going to be times in a season where Chantal and I, we might be going a little bit too fast for you and pushing you forward. But I want you to know we're leading with wisdom, but we're also going to lead with faith. Our prayer, and I pray that your prayer as you lead your home, you lead your business, you lead your family, is that God leads you with wisdom and with faith. Not one without the other, but both. So when it comes to church, we set out a couple of months ago to make church as normal as possible. Not a COVID, but a Christ-centered experience. So we've made a decision that up until the end of 2020, We're going to meet once every 3 to 4 weeks. We'll let you know, depending on Christmas and all those things. There's only, what, 12, not even 12 weeks left. How long have we got? 9 or 10 weeks left of the year. So we're going to meet 2 or 3 more times on a Sunday. And then next year, starting in January, we're going to meet in the building bi-weekly. Okay? Because we believe we've got to take wise steps forward, faith steps forward. And then I'm believing by Easter, we'll be meeting every week. Okay? So we're not rushing it too quickly. We're not being too cautious. We're not being too faith-filled. We're going to be, okay, let's use wisdom. Because people are on different journeys with this. And hey, if you're part of our online community, here's the good news. We're going to be coming to you into your living room. Okay, and if you're not ready to step back in the building, if you still live in the Norfolk area, I want to encourage you, you're still going to get church online, a great experience. But we're going to endeavor to keep moving the services forward into 2020, into 2021. Okay, and I want to encourage us as well. We're going to be talking about this in church after the Heart for the House, is to keep being kind to one another. Let's show compassion and grace and kindness in this season. And all I know is none of us know what the other person's facing. None of us know what's going on in people's worlds and some of the challenges and the setbacks that they felt. You know, I was speaking to someone in my office tonight, and you could just feel the pain because life hasn't gone the way they thought it would be. And we've got to show lots and lots of compassion and grace in this season. Now, we've got an amazing guy in our church called Kev. Okay, now he's known as Big Kev, Kev the Rev. He's known as a whole load of things. Kev, why don't you come up on stage and join me? Kev's pretty amazing. Kev's a mental health consultant. Hope they're going to bring me a chair as well, Kev, if they're kind. But you take a seat, please. No, you just keep going. Here we go. Don't ask stage managers. Don't they do a phenomenal job? Look at these guys. I'm not allowed to touch you. I'm going to pat you on the back, but you're a good man, Joel. How are you, Kev?
Good.
Is that all I'm going to get?
Enjoying the football.
Is Norwich going to win tonight?
Absolutely.
You're not going to be watching on your phone when I'm speaking, are you?
No.
That's good. So Kev's been part of the church. Kev came in. Do you remember when we had the lovely Janine, the Holocaust survivor, 3-4 years ago? Kev came that night and reconnected with God and... pretty amazing, because she was an atheist. It's amazing who you connect with, Kev.
Fascinating.
Fascinating.
Was it?
So, the reason I've got Kev with me tonight is, over the last few months in church, we've had, and you know, I think it's good for the church to know, but we've had a number of suicides within our church for the last 12 months. And as deadly as COVID is, I'm also very much aware of what mental health is doing to people in our own church and families, and it's heartbreaking. And Kev has been a tower of strength for me, because when I don't understand necessarily this whole area of mental health, you've always helped me, and you've had your own battles, you've had your own struggles.
Yeah, very much so.
Just tell us a little bit about maybe a little bit of your journey, and then we'll just unpack a couple of questions, Kev. Thanks for being here, mate.
No problem. So, people that are close to me, people that have seen my story from Heart for the House last year, know that I had a very difficult upbringing, absent parents, early onset, mental health problems, substance misuse, gang crime, and then ending up in the criminal justice system. And then 15 years ago, I needed to start to make some changes. And as a mental health service user, I felt that I was being drawn to that field of work that needed people to come on and really help develop and shape services and change lives and save lives. And I felt that God had equipped me and given me the tools to be able to be, you know, able to bring change in that area of my life and others. And for the last 15 years working in the Mental Health Trust, first in community mental health services and then in substance misuse services, and now I'm working in our inpatient wards and both our city and county crisis teams, who are doing an absolute sterling job under very difficult circumstances. My friends and colleagues are working flat out, as are people in social care and GP practices, hospitals. So it's a really tough time for those guys. Because they're trying to change people's lives and just save people and bring about change and invest in people and show people that there's a different way and a different outcome and that we can help people to make those changes.
So good, Kev. And Kev has, you know, he has really, really gone above and beyond in this season. Some of the stories he's been able to share. Kev, what are the signals, what are the signs in people that we need to look out for? Because often we don't recognize them in ourselves, but maybe we can recognize them in others. And if we see people struggling, like, just talk about some of the things we can look out for.
So people who start to become withdrawn and aloof, people who start to become more difficult to contact, it seems like they're avoiding you. You know, it's really important that you understand and recognize that that can be the beginnings of someone becoming very unwell. Signs where people are losing their appetite, they're not sleeping very well, or indeed they're eating too much, and sleeping too much can be a symptom of depression. And these symptoms and these conditions tend to creep up on people. It doesn't just happen straight overnight. So it's a process. And if that process gets to the point where people start to get intrusive, unwanted thoughts, voices telling them that they're no good, that you're no good, you've got nothing to contribute in society, nobody loves you, nobody cares for you, then it's you know, you really do need to be speaking out and speaking to people and asking for help, because what you can't do is allow those thoughts and feelings to take root in your mind, because that's when you really need to be speaking out and asking for help.
Excellent, Kev. Now, Kev, if someone's watching tonight and they're struggling, maybe they've even experienced some of those dark thoughts, suicidal thoughts, you know, they just feel like they have no reason to live. What would you say to them right now, and how would you signpost them?
I'd say that there's a different outcome than the one that you're probably feeling about in that moment. If you're feeling suicidal, if you're feeling that you want to harm yourself, be mindful that those feelings won't last forever, and reach out to somebody you trust. It's really important that you go to your GP. That, you know, don't feel shame, don't feel that you're going to be stigmatized, don't feel that people are going to judge you, because we're not going to do that. What we want to do is help you. We want to help you to live. And, you know, what's really important is that people have a sense of purpose and identity in life. That's what keeps us all going. It's what we keeps us getting us out of bed in the morning. We need to be doing something. And I think COVID has stolen that from some people through fear and anxiety and stress that they feel. They've been furloughed off. They've lost their jobs. They can't bring in, you know, the weekly wage. They can't provide for their family, and that leaves people feeling, you know, very depressed and in a dark place.
Kev, you're doing a phenomenal job, and if people are struggling, drop us a message, send us an email, and you know, we've talked to you about really helping us as a church move this conversation forward. And I know you're willing to offer your services.
Absolutely. The Mental Health Trust has a first response telephone line for people who live in Norfolk and Waveney in Suffolk. It's manned. It's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Put something in the chat box. Reach out to us. We've got a couple of really good mental health Zoom groups in our church. Nigel French runs an amazing one. Myself and Pete Reeve do another one, and we provide one-to-one Zoom sessions and support for people. So please just reach out and ask for help.
I think Kev deserves a huge round of applause. Thanks, mate. Okay. All right, well, now we are crossing over to Washington, D.C., America, and we are speaking to the one and only, yours truly, Ben Cooley. Okay, Ben is the director of Hope for Justice, our new partner, and he's out in the States at the moment. Ben, I think you're going to come up somewhere soon. Okay, I'm going to get some thumbs ups.
Hey.
Oh, look at you. Come here. There we go. All right, I'm going to sit right
wow.
here. How are you, mate?
You're carrying a bit of holiday weight. What are you doing? That makes
He's a character, I'm just warning you.
Normal, yeah. I'm doing well. How are you doing?
Ben, I'm fantastic, and so good to see you. How's America?
It's going well. I was just, actually in the White House last week. It's been quite an eventful week talking to politicians and raising the issue of human trafficking, modern-day slavery, and how we need to do something about it, even during COVID.
Ben, we are really honoured, mate. Ben and I have known each other for the best part of 15 years. Ben's wife, Debs, went through Bible school in Sydney, Australia with us for the 2 years. And so Ben's work with Hope for Justice has just been phenomenal. And we've been wanting to partner with you for a while, but we feel right, this is the season. This is the moment. And so we're really just privileged. And tonight is really just for us just to hear from you first time. We wanted to get you here in person, but obviously you're busy at the White House, as you do. by the way, he is at the White House. Yeah. Okay, that's not a joke. I hope you said hello to Donald for me.
I did. I mean, I also wore a cap saying I'm here to make America Great Britain again. There we go. We're absolutely thrilled to partner with you on the Heart for the House. And, you know, I think I speak on behalf of many of the Christian community across the world and say, John and Chantal, you're doing an extraordinary job, and I want to honor you as leaders because I know what it costs to be a leader. And I've seen the price that you've had to pay to pioneer for other people's breakthrough. And I want to just say in front of your congregation live on Zoom, I want to say I just honor you for all the years of service, the relentless pursuit that you have for his kingdom, for the least, the last, and the lost. And I think you're doing extraordinary, absolutely amazing. Come on. I believe in you so much, so much. I'm
Ben,
so grateful.
That means a lot, mate. Ben, just give us a quick oversight of the work that Hope for Justice does, and then would you also just share a story, someone who's been rescued recently, or, you know, someone that comes to mind?
Absolutely. Mate. Yeah, so we are an anti-trafficking organization that's based in 10 countries, 32 offices. In fact, we opened our 33rd office last week in the East Midlands in Leicester, where we are just addressing some of the issues that you might have seen in the news about forced labor that's happening in that city. But basically, we have four major themes that we focus on: prevention, rescue, restore, and reform. We prevent exploitation by working with women to create self-help groups and teaching them about parenting language, teaching them about safe migration, human trafficking. We give them economic empowerment lessons, and then we train their children through schools, where we have thousands of children in our schools program teaching about what child sexual exploitation looks like. And then we work with communities to prevent exploitation in the first place. Do you know what, John? Let me tell you, we were in a slum in Uganda where we trained a community about the issue of human trafficking. And this slum in Uganda, the leaders went, oh my gosh, this is happening in our community. And in one weekend, we shut down 33 brothels with this community, with children aged 6 years old in them that are now free. We rescue victims, right? And so it's something you might have seen on the news, but we rescue victims all over the world. In fact, last year, we broke down the largest gang in British history, where over 400 victims in one trafficking gang were rescued. And not only did we help with the rescue, but we also supported them through so that each one of them, 97 of them, were able to be in court. And they sent a message to traffickers all across the world, because it was on front pages, BBC, CNN, Fox News. And we sent a message to say to traffickers, this crime will no longer be tolerated. We've literally helped thousands of children out of exploitation just last year alone. And then the third thing that we do is we restore lives. And we have aftercare facilities, 11 aftercare facilities with schools, with reintegration projects. We have trauma-informed care, psychosocial support. And we help victims that have been rescued from trafficking. And we help them. You know, one of the things, John, I absolutely love doing is that we actually not only help them with getting free. And, you know, the Bible says, doesn't it? It says, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is. And there's something intrinsic about your thinking. That's why the Bible says take captive every thought. And, you know, a lot of these victims of trafficking have been through so tremendously traumatizing events that we actually help them with their thinking. But then you know what we do? We take them back home and we actually restore them back to their family unit. And we just last year helped 2,200 children safely back to their parents with a 92% success rate of them staying with their moms and dads. And then the final thing that we do is we work with governments across the world, which is why I was with President Trump's office. And we worked with Theresa May when she was prime minister on crafting legislation. And we work with businesses across the world to address slavery in their supply chains. And but I think the thing that affects me the most, I mean, in our whole program last year, John, would you believe it, that we helped 102,000 children in our programs last year. And, you know, one of the things that I've realized is God cares about the one. And just before lockdown, I was with a 14-year-old girl that she was in a brothel, and she had a baby in the brothel, and we had we rescued her and her baby, a three-month-old baby, and her three-month-old baby had already been abused by men, and we had to pay for reconstructive surgery for that baby, and you know, as a father, my heart breaks for what we see. And, you know, I know in the Bible, it talks about gross darkness shall cover the earth, but the Lord shall rise upon you. And it talks about this great light that comes. And, you know, that day was a light bringing moment. And that 14-year-old girl is now free, and her baby is now whole. And we're telling them that in Jeremiah it says, "For I know the plans I have for you, not to harm you, but to prosper you." And there's a bright and glorious future for your life. And, you know, one of the things I love about this church is every time you change a life, you put a light bulb in, and that light permeates out. And I want to say this Heart for the House offering, and Pastor John and Chantel, what you're doing is you're sending out light into the brokenness, into the hurt, and into the marginalized. You are actually breaking down walls of oppression and fear, because that's exactly what the church was meant to do. You know, the one thing that this season has taught us is it was never about a building. It was actually about building his kingdom on earth into the brokenness of humanity, because our God cares about the least. Our God cares about the last, and our God cares about girls that are in brothels, and we're going to break them down, because that's what he made us to be like. That's who he made us to be. He made us to be those giant slayers, those wall breakers, those freedom bringers. And that's why I'm excited to be with you today, because this is what the church was always meant to do.
Wow. Ben, I can honestly say that's probably some of the most powerful minutes we've ever had from this platform. And we would be honored. Who would like to come here, Ben, in person? So, hey, we are just so privileged to partner with you. And a portion of this year's Heart for the House is coming to you guys. So we could just really just not just pray for you, but we can put our, you know, put our money where our mouths is. And we want to see more girls rescued from these brothels into freedom and more light. So we love you, Ben. Father, I pray right now for Ben and Debs and the team, Father God. I pray, Lord, for greater levels of influence, Father. I thank you for the doors you've already started to open, Father. Lord, in Downing Street and the White House, Father, but there are greater doors, Father God. You're going to use his voice to be a mouthpiece, Father God. I thank you in this dark world, Father. Ben and Hope for Justice, they are rising up, Father, and we will see human slavery, Father, ended in our generation, Father. We believe it, Father. We stand on your promises. Bless Ben. Keep him strong in the power of your might. In Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, let's give Ben a hand. Love you, mate. Thank you.
Love you, mate.
Wow. I'm so glad we got Ben on tonight, because just really, I wanted you to hear what we're part of. You know, we never just make quick, rash decisions. I've been waiting to make that decision for 5+ years till I felt the time was right. And our heart's been in Eastern Europe for a while, and so much of their work is in Eastern Europe. We wanted to do something on the doorstep of our continent. And so we love Europe and we want to make a difference. We want to send some light and some finance. So again, this is what we're giving to this weekend. Can you see how real this is? We're not just giving to a building, we're giving to the future of people. You know, that I mean, I've never heard a story like that on our stage before, but you know, to think that that is happening on our watch. But here's the good news, we can make a difference. And so, amazing. Okay, wow, I've got to keep going. We are so honored, not just to be able to help people in different parts of the world, but to help people right here in our own backyard here in Norfolk. And Sam Mooney, come on up, Sam. Come on, give Sam a hand. Sam is leading the Soul Foundation, and he's doing a phenomenal job, and got a great team of people around him. And I know that Sam wants to say a big thank you to all the Dream Teamers who've given of their time and resources over the past few months throughout this pandemic, and we're so grateful. But Sam, I want you to know you've done a great job, mate.
Thank you.
This guy and his family have given absolutely everything, heart and soul, really just to serve our city. So we love you, mate. You're doing a great job. So talk to us. Tell us what's been happening.
Thank you. Yeah, big shout out to all the Dream Team. I think up until now, we've had over 70 people come and volunteer their time, whether that's packing boxes, driving back and forward to Ipswich, picking up food, delivering through our city. It's just been incredible what God's been doing. Really is. And one person's been there from the start. She's gone above and beyond. Incredible. Even when she has felt herself like not being there, she's put in her four-day shift at work, and then she's come in for 2 days and helped us out. And that person's Esther Squires, and we want to honour Esther tonight.
Come on, let's all stand to our feet, even in your living rooms. Come on, let's honour this amazing lady. Amazing.
Esther, you're incredible. You're going to hit me later, but just what you've done over these last 31 weeks and still going strong, and we haven't finished yet, have we? Still to go. So we want to honor you tonight and say thank you. Thank you. And on behalf of Pastor John Chantel, here's just a little gift to say thank you for all that you've done.
Thank you. Esther, you're amazing. And you know, you're receiving that on behalf of all the Dream Team who've helped in the foundation over this pandemic, but you have gone above and beyond. And I know sometimes it feels like maybe, but you have. And it has been seen. We've seen. I know God's seen everything, but we've seen the way you've just gone the extra mile. So thank you. And your best days are in front of you.
Yes.
All right. Definitely. We love you. Come on, let's give her a hand as she takes a seat. So soul food is what we've kind of tagged the name of our food distribution program, delivered over 1 million meals.
Yeah, I think nearly up to 1.1 now. So it's just incredible what's going on.
Yeah. I don't know how you work in food all day. That would be my challenge.
My family's from retail and I hated it. And God's got a sense of humor because now I'm back in a warehouse surrounded by the stuff. I can't get away from it. But it's crazy. Absolutely crazy.
But it's making such a big difference.
Incredible difference in the city. You know, if you'd have said 12 months ago we were doing this, and some of the stories that we've been having.
Share a story.
I'll give you a great story. Because, you know, Solomon says the gift gives way for the giver. And this is what it's all about. It's not just about a box of food, because you can get food anywhere. This is about us bringing Jesus. That box of food is a box of hope into so many people's lives. And just 2 weeks ago, was it 3 weeks ago, we went to meet Pauling at the beach. And Dree and I got the privilege of baptizing one of the ladies that Neil and Sheila Voller have been delivering food to week in, week out. A lady that has been had so much trauma in her own life. And Neil and Sheila, through bringing this box of food every week and then just getting the privilege to baptize her, that's what it's all about, just reaching people for Jesus.
How good is that? From a box of food to, you know, baptize. And the lease on the warehouse has just run out.
Yeah, so a couple of...
You better have some good news for me.
I've got good news for you. It's okay. We're coming back here. No, we're not.
That's not good news.
So, yeah, you'd mentioned couple of months ago that, you know, there was a chance that we were going to lose the warehouse that we were in, that which was rent-free. And, over the weekend, a team of us moved, and we're operational now. I think you're going to get some photographs up at some point. They're going to come up of our new location, our new headquarters for Soul Foundation. Here it is, fully operational and ready to go to serve the people of our city.
Look at that. Wow. Guys, that is a miracle. And the miracle is that's lease-free.
Lease-free. Yeah. No rent. How good is God?
2 years.
1 year.
1 year lease-free. I'm telling you, God's favor is on us. God's favor is on us. And this is miracle week. So this is just the start of it.
It was William Carey that said, God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. And that's
say that again. Say that again.
Yeah, that's good, isn't it?
I wish
I'd said it.
Just God, take it.
I'll take it. Yeah. God's work done God's way will never lack God's supply. And that's what we're just, every day, it's fish and loaves. We're just seeing it come in and God blessing it. It's amazing.
I think we should also give a shout out to Richard and Lynn. I know they
don't
like that. But
my wingman? Or I'm his wingman, I don't know.
Yeah. These guys, they're actually in the room tonight. But we want to say a big thank you
Absolutely.
To both of you for all of your endeavors, generosity, and everything that you have done to make this season. So thank you, guys. Put some love in the chat for all the Dream Team, all of the volunteers, everyone who's made this season such an incredible, incredible part of people's lives. So Sam, if people want to still get involved, I want to try and get the message across that Soul Foundation is not just soul food. There's
no, not just soul food. We have Soul Streets, which is still operating. Brooke Gregory's leading that on a Wednesday evening.
Tell us a little bit, what is Soul Streets?
Soul Streets, if you don't know, we're going out and we're feeding those vulnerable, homeless guys and girls that are in the city and really connecting with them, bringing hope to them in their situation. So if you want to get involved in that, there's still, we always need people. There's more people needs reaching than there is resource. So jump on board.
And we're still actively looking for a refuge center in the city.
Yeah, in fact, I think I sent you an email just tonight of a place. So we're actively looking still for a place in the city. Come January, we're hoping that Soul Dignity, which is our shower units, we're going back into the city with that. We have a location where we're going to operate from. So we're hoping that once the COVID restrictions ease, we'll be back in.
We can get back. And Chantal Malai's heart is also to get back into the prisons.
Yeah.
When we first launched Soul Church, we were in the prisons once every 6 weeks, 8 weeks, taking services and seeing many, many, many prisoners find Jesus as their Savior. But because of a whole load of red tape, it kind of ended. But
yeah.
Sam's been working hard for us to try and get back into the prisons for us to do services on a Sunday. So please, would you pray for us for that?
Yes, please.
Because I think when these guys come out of jail, we want them to be able to come into a home.
Yeah.
A spiritual home. So you're doing a great job. I think Thank Sam you. Is doing a phenomenal job. Would you put your hands together and give him a huge, huge round of applause? Well done, mate. All right, you can grab your seats. We're going to just worship in just a second once more. But after the horrendous, horrific murder of George Floyd, as a church, we believed it was right for us to go on a social justice journey, a conversation, and really unpack this, but also try and understand. And we've experienced so much injustice this year. And the gospel is all about reconciliation. The gospel is all about healing. And when justice collapses in a society, hope collapses with it. And that's why we saw people taken to the streets, and rightly so. And our role in society as the church is to uphold justice and speak up for injustice. That's why I love what we're partnering with Ben Cooley, because we are speaking up for injustices in our world. And I believe that God has given us a platform here at Soul Church, and we have a duty to use it. But it's not do we have to pursue justice. The real question is how do we pursue justice? And so working with a group of 30-plus churches in the UK called the Richmond Group, we've been on a roadmap over the past few months where we're looking at how we can pursue justice more. And so we've created 8 steps, and with a small team of individuals and families in the church, we're looking at ways as a church we can understand more and we can move this conversation forward. One of the ways, practical ways we want to move this forward is just to adapt our vision statement so it is a far more inclusive. And so there's just a line on the vision statement, The Church That I See. If you've never read The Church That I See, you can go to soulchurch.com. We don't have time to read out the whole vision statement, but we've just added 2 extra parts to that statement. We've put, I see a multi-generational church. We want us to be known as a multi-generational church. We want to be known as an inclusive church of all generations. We are not a young church. We are not a middle-aged church. We're not a family church. We're not an old church. We are all generation churches, church. And so we really wanted, you know, we really wanted that heartbeat to come forward. But also, we want to be known as a multicultural church. You know, I don't know if you remember, but I think it was about 18 months ago I spoke in church, and I got people from different countries and nations to come out. You know, we had over 30 different countries represented in this church. And, you know, in Norfolk, less than 3% are ethnic minority. But in our church, over 30%. And I think that is the heartbeat of God, that people from different walks of backgrounds and cultures and creeds can come together, and you can come as you are. So, hey, we certainly don't have all the answers, but we're on this journey, and we've engaged with the local authorities, and Sam Milcham has been leading the charge here to really look and understand the part the church can play in breaking down barriers in this area. And last week we had race and diversity training with all our staff and academy students, and again it was really eye-opening for us to understand this subject further. And we're going to continue to educate ourselves to find out what it's like to be black or ethnic minority living in our city, and for us to be more inclusive as a church, because that is God's heartbeat. And I believe when we go on this journey together, it will reflect who Jesus is. Amen? Amen. So be praying for us on that as well. And if you see areas of our church that we can grow in that area, speak to us, okay? We haven't got all the answers, okay? So we need help. Okay, our new building, tomorrow is a really significant day for our church, because after 3.5 years, we get our tenders back tomorrow. Now, for those who, that's kind of new language, trust me, that was new language to me a year ago. I didn't know what a tender was. I thought it was giving your wife a hug and all tender, okay? But it's a lot more than that, okay? 3.5 years, tender. She loves it. I got a good one. Who thinks I got a good one? She puts up with this nonstop. So the tender is, we went originally out to 5 different builders nationally to get them to quote on building the new facility. Does it look magnificent? And unfortunately, 2 backed out because of COVID and all various reasons. So tomorrow, 3 companies. And they have to remain anonymous at this stage. But 3 companies will send us their quotes for the new building. And then it will be up to the board and the build team to decide which company, which build team we're moving forward with. But it's pretty exciting. I am a bit nervous, but whatever the amount comes back at, this belongs to God. Okay, so would you pray tonight? Would you pray that the Lord will wake up one of those builders in the middle of the night and just take a digit off? All right, so he'll just wake up in the middle of the night and think, Lord, I just need to strike that down. Just 1, 2, 3 million. That'll be absolutely perfect. I said it was the week for unusual miracles. Come on, let's pray right now. Let's pray for favor. Father, we need miracles, Father. These plans are audacious. They are crazy. This is Norfolk, not New York. We need you. But the same God in New York is the same God in Norwich. So, Father, I pray, Lord, that you would help us raise whatever figure comes back tomorrow. What's the point of being worried? Chantel said. I'm just going to trust you. I pray you'd stir the hearts of people to sow into this project from all over the world in Jesus' name. Amen. Don't be texting me tomorrow. All right. So our team has been working hard on interior design. We've got an interior design team. We've been meeting every 3 weeks or 2 weeks, and we've been going through the chairs and the cafe and areas. And so there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. And if COVID's done anything for us, it's given us a lot more time to focus on what the inside of the building's going to look like. But I just want you to be excited about it. Because I know sometimes it feels for me, I'm like, I've got to keep being excited, even though sometimes you see the cost of things, you think, my word, but I've got to keep going. We're going to do this. All right, we're going to move forward. It's going to be in His time, not my time, but we're going to keep moving forward, and we're still believing God. Next year, we're going to break ground. Okay, we're believing God. We're going to break ground next year. So, do you believe with us? Come on, if you believe it, write something in the chat. Write something in the chat. Say, this belongs to God. I'm believing for favor on that tender tomorrow. Come on, why don't we stand to our feet? And I'm going to invite just a couple of people. I just felt we should really pray tonight for a few minutes. We're going to finish up in 20-odd minutes' time. But before we do that, I want us to pray. I want to pray for our government. I've invited Alan and Katie. These guys are an amazing couple. By the way, they carry so much. You know all the stuff that I don't like health and safety and making sure the building is the right temperature and making sure the bills are paid. This couple carry the weight of so much of our church. So I want you to make sure that you're praying for these two, because the weight is heavy for them. But I know that in Christ they're carrying it. And so I've asked Alan and Katie to pray for our government. And then I've asked Rach to come up and pray for those who are struggling with mental health. Maybe you're watching. Maybe something Kev said has stirred you. But we're going to pray for those who are struggling with anxiety or fear or worry. And then I've never done this before in the history of my life, but I've asked Steve and Rach to pray for Chantel and I, because this has been a tough season, carrying the church, and you feel that, and we get emails from people, some aren't happy, some are really happy, and we get all sorts. And we just need that wisdom, we need that strength, and I want to humble ourselves tonight and say, we need your prayer, because this ain't been an easy season. But I believe we're going to come through it, but we need to be in it together as a family. Stick together. The last thing you do, by the way, on a plane when there's turbulence is leave your seat. People are thinking about leaving church. Never leave church in a storm. Right now, don't leave your church. Don't leave this church. You sit still. You put your seatbelt on and you trust the pilot. You stay planted. Oh, but I didn't like that. Doesn't matter. I don't like turbulence either. I don't like the chicken and beef on an airplane, but I stay still. I stay still because I trust the pilot. And we're in God's hands. So, Alan and Katie, why don't you pray? And then I'm going to invite Rach to come up, and then Stephen Rach. Thank you.
So we can't even imagine the weight that our government is carrying right now. But what we can do is we can honour them and we can pray for them. It says in Romans 13 that there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. So it's so important that we just come together in this moment and that we just take this time to pray for wisdom for them, pray for our government, for the decisions that they have to make, for how they're leading our country. We can't imagine what they're going through, but God knows. God established it and God will guide them through it. So Alan's just going to pray.
Yeah, if ever our government needed our prayers, I think we'd probably all agree that now is that time. So I think just wherever you are, wherever you're watching online, for those that are in the room as well, let's just stretch out our hands, and no matter what political persuasion you have, lay that aside, because this is all about actually the here and now, and this is what God has given us. So let's pray for these guys. So Lord, we just thank you. Lord, we thank you for Prime Minister Boris Johnson. We thank you for the cabinet, for the advisors, for all of those people, Lord, that you have put around him. And God, we just pray for strength, we pray for wisdom, and we just pray for your clarity, Lord, to speak through in every situation. God, as things are thrown at them, Lord, as accusations come in, as people say the wrong things at the wrong time, Lord, would you just bring around them the strength that they need to keep going? God, would you just be seen in this situation? And Lord, as we move forward over these next few months, whatever that holds, Lord, we just put you right in the middle, right at the center. And we just thank you in advance, God, for you bringing this country back to its former glory and moving forward in your name. Amen.
Come on, let's take authority together. We're not going to see any more suicides, any more depression, any more anxiety, any more mental health caused by this season on our watch. So I want us to lean forward in this room, reach out your hands right now, and across the screen, if you're experiencing some mental illness in any way, shape, or form, or you know someone that is, I want you to reach your hand towards the screen as an act of faith. Lord, your word says you've not given us a spirit of fear, but of love, a power, and a sound mind. And we speak your love, and we speak your power, and we speak the mind of Christ, Jesus Christ, who bore a crown of thorns on your head so that our heads could be free, so that our minds could be free. And we declare your salvation. We put on that helmet of salvation, and we declare, God, that you are greater. Lord, we pray for joy, for your peace that surpasses understanding, that we'd be anxious for nothing, but in everything we'd give every request, the smallest to the largest, we would give to you, and the peace of God will guard our hearts and our minds. And I pray we'd be carriers of your peace and carriers of your love to those around us in this city and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.
Beautiful. We're going to pray for our senior pastors and their beautiful kids. So I know we love them, don't we? We absolutely love them and appreciate them and want to encourage them. We're blessed in our church with phenomenal leaders. And guys, as I sat at the front, I felt to read a scripture from Joshua 1. And I saw something as I sat in my seat that I've never seen. It says this, verse 6, be strong and courageous, because you will lead these people to inherit the land. When God says you will, it's a promise. When God writes an I will, it is from heaven itself. You will lead these people to inherit the land. Then it says again, be strong and very courageous. So the first time it said, be strong and courageous. The second time, be strong and very courageous. God is going to take you from being strong and courageous to strong and very courageous. And I'm believing that supernaturally, there's going to be a new strength on you, John. You are going to lead us into the land. You're going to lead us into the future. You're going to make this church something that's going to shine across nations of the world. So church, this is a holy moment. It's a humbling thing to say this. They need our prayers. So here in the room, would you stretch out your hand? There in the chat, put your hand on your heart. Come on, from your hearts, let's really pray. Jesus, right now, we lift this beautiful family to you. We thank you for justice and miracle. Right now, we pray you would lay your hand upon them, that you would protect them and lead them and guide them. And for Pastors John and Chantel, we thank you for them, and we thank you that they are standing in your authority, standing in your courage. And so we pray over their whole household, over their finances, over their family, and over their future, that they would know your strength, your grace, and your favor from this day on with a new ease and a new courage. We bless them now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, team, why don't you lead us in a song of worship?
I'm just going to press hold on my message tonight. I feel like God's presence is really moving tonight, and sometimes we just need to interrupt the program, and that can wait. I really feel God is here. God wants to fix some stuff in people tonight, some stuff that's broken, some stuff that maybe you feel like you've lost. I feel like there's a whole group of people you're watching and you feel so distant from God. God is saying tonight, just draw close to you. Just draw close to Him. There's people who are kneeling in this room. If you want to kneel in your bedroom, if you want to kneel, if you want to kneel in your kitchen, if you want to kneel and humble yourself before the Lord, I believe there is God is going to do something in these next few moments tonight. The Holy Spirit, I'm going to invite Him to come right now afresh. In your home, in your business, wherever you are, humble yourself. If you want to kneel, if you want to lift your hands, If you're at home, you can sing out these words. I exalt you. Exalt God above your situation. Exalt Him above your debt. Exalt Him above your crisis. Exalt Him above your divorce papers. You begin to exalt and lift high the name of Jesus. Come on. Hallelujah. Let's exalt Him tonight. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Right now, I'm going to pray that people are filled with the Holy Spirit. You know, we've been filled with the presence of fear. We've been filled with the presence of social media. We've been filled up with all the wrong stuff in this season. God wants to right now come and fill you afresh with His Holy Spirit. What is the Holy Spirit? It's God's presence inside of you. God's Spirit, it will not leave you, but He wants to be alive inside of you. And I'm going to pray wherever you are right now. Maybe you've never spoken the words of the Spirit. Right now, I'm believing wherever you are in your living room, in your office, I want you to open your mouth. The Bible says, open your mouth and you shall be filled. Spirit of God, right now, I pray that you'd fall. Fall on your church. Fall on every family. Fall in every office. Fall in every bedroom, Father. Right now, I pray. I pray for an awakening of your Spirit right now. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Oh, God. If you can speak in those words, if you can speak in those other tongues, you begin to speak it out right now. The Bible says, resist the devil and he shall flee from you. When you begin to speak in the words of the Spirit, that's what you're doing. You're resisting the enemy. You're resisting fear. You're resisting anxiety. You're resisting it in your life. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on. Exalt God above every situation, over every issue. Hallelujah.
Look, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to each person according to what they have done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last, the beginning and the end. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to give you this testimony for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let those who hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty come. And let the one who wishes to take the free gift of the water of life. Wherever you are, would you come? Even if you have no money to buy it, it's a free gift. Come to Him. He is the giver of life. He is the giver of hope. The Bible says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And sin, my friend, pays a wage. And that wage leads to death. But the gift of God is eternal life. This is what it is to be called sons and daughters of the Most High God, to live with that eternity in mind. Come, come to the water where you never have to thirst again. Come to the water. The Spirit and the bride say, come, come. All you have to do is come, come to Him. If you're weary and you feel burdened, come to Him. He'll give you rest. He'll take the burden. He already took it on the cross over 2,000 years ago. He bore it for you. Come to Him. I just want you. There's nothing else. To the water.
Man, the Holy Spirit is strong here. Hope you're feeling at home. People are texting me saying, this is awesome. getting texts on my watch going, wow, I can feel it in my living room. I can feel it. That's the presence of God. It's a feeling and it's a sense that we've been missing. Because you know what the enemy's wanted to do? He's wanted to isolate us. I feel like I've got a word for someone who's watching. And the word is this: it's time to make a move. It's time to make a move. The enemy has kept you in your living room. He's kept you in your house. He's kept you in fear. And tonight, I feel like is a catalyst moment in your life is to step back into community. Now, that could be a baby step. That could be literally going to the supermarket. For some of you, it could be stepping back into church. But do not allow the enemy to tell you it's unsafe out there, because God is your protector. God is your protector. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress. He is my God. In Him will I trust. And so the message tonight for someone, put it in the chat. Put it in the chat. This is for you. It's time to move. It's time to take a step forward. We're not going backwards. The enemy wants to isolate you. The enemy wants to keep you. But God is saying tonight, He's pulling my faith. He's lifting me up. He's setting my foot on a new rock. It's a rock, Christ Jesus. Come on, if you believe it, if you believe it, begin to say amen. Come on, let's sing it out before we close. Hallelujah.
Come on, come on, come on, give Him some praise.
Come on, clap your hands at home.
Come on, adore His name.
Shout to God with a voice of triumph.
He is worthy to receive it, honor and praise.
Wow.
Jesus.
Just imagine when we're all back in here, Chantel. Imagine this. I'm going to keep believing it. I haven't written this off yet. Come on. Who knows what God can do in the next few weeks?
That's it.
Come on.
That's
let's keep believing. So good. Well, hope you've had a great experience of Heart and Soul. It didn't go to plan, but that's probably a good thing, because that means it was God's plan. Not
this year hasn't gone to plan, John.
Nothing's gone to plan.
We might as well just go with the flow.
Wow, so good. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and fill you with His peace. Now and forever. Always. Amen.
Be blessed, church. We love you.
Oh, we love you. See you on Sunday. See you online. God bless. Stay alert.
Thanks again for tuning in. And if you said the salvation prayer today, we'd love for you to email connecttofaith@soulchurch.com so we can talk to you a little bit more about this incredible decision that you've just made.
Yeah, you know, and if at any point in the service you felt moved to give towards any of our local or global initiatives, then head to soulchurch.com and click on the giving at the top of the page.
Thanks again for joining us today, and we hope to see you again soon. God bless.